good Sunday this morning. How many of you stayed up an extra hour? Even though we got that hour, you're like, I'm going to just stay up. How many of you went to bed early and feel refreshed? All right, kind of a mix. Well, we are wrapping up our series, Divine Justice. And just to let you know, next week is a big Sunday as Cresco Mission will be here. And that's a special Sunday in which they share their testimonies. We'll have about two or three people kind of share addictions that they have overcome or are working through right now, and how God is working in their life to help them with that. And after service, we'll have a special Thanksgiving meal. And so I really want to encourage you to be here next week with your family, because it will be a great service and a great time of fun and fellowship afterwards as we eat some turkey. The following week, we'll start a new series entitled Family Issues, and that will be from Thanksgiving up till Christmas. I think every one of us has issues in our family or in our extended family, and so I hope that that series will be enlightening or an encouragement or a blessing to you. Well, as I mentioned this morning, we are wrapping up our series, Divine Justice. And in this series, we've been in the book of Habakkuk. And how did this book start? How did this book start? With Habakkuk voicing a complaint. What was he upset about? What was this guy, Habakkuk, mad or upset about? All the injustice that he saw going on around him. And we said that this book, Habakkuk, is a lot like the world we live in today. And when Habakkuk looked around at all the injustice he saw going on around him, he said violence and destruction was everywhere. He said he was surrounded by people who loved to argue and fight. He said the law had become paralyzed, and there was no justice in the courts. He said the wicked far outnumber the righteous. So what did Habakkuk do? He cried out to the Lord. Did the Lord answer him? Yes. What did the Lord have to say to Habakkuk? He said he was taking care of it. He was raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. Why? To punish his people, the Israelites, who were sinning. How did Habakkuk react or respond when he heard what the Lord had said? He essentially said, you're going to do what? You're going to use a people more wicked than we are to punish us for our sins? This just didn't make sense to Habakkuk. Well, what is it that doesn't make sense to me today in our world? The crime and violence I see on the news doesn't make sense to me. I never thought I'd see people calling for the police to be defunded. I never thought I'd see buildings burned down and statues torn down. I never thought I'd have to worry when my wife Monica and my 4-year-old daughter Eden leave Decorah. Is it really safe for them to go to the Mall of America by themselves? Will they come back okay if they go to Minneapolis? I never thought I'd have to worry when they leave this town, but now I do. Will I be shot when I stop for gas out of town, when I drive home for Christmas, go back to Tennessee, and go through St. Louis? If I'm in downtown St. Louis and I get off at the wrong exit to get gas, is it possible now that I would get shot at a gas station there? About 2 years ago, I took a gun class taught by our sheriff here, Dan Marks, and I didn't buy a gun. However, now I think, man, I might actually need one. What is it that just doesn't make sense to you today? What is it that doesn't make sense to you today? It could be what's happening at your school, right? You never thought your teachers would be teaching what they're teaching today. You never thought they'd cause you to question your beliefs. You never thought guys could be girls and girls could be guys. You never thought things would get this insane or this crazy. What is it that doesn't make sense to you today? It could be what's happening at your job. You never thought you'd work at a place that would mandate vaccines. You never thought they would adopt the policies that they've adopted. You never thought you'd feel the way that you feel about your employer. You never thought things would get this bad. Well, Habakkuk knew that he and his people weren't perfect. He knew they needed to be punished for their sins. However, God using these Babylonians to punish them for their sins just didn't make sense to him. It blew his circuits. Would God punish these Babylonians for what they were doing? And the answer is yes. What is it then Habakkuk needed to do? What did he need to do? Trust the Lord. Habakkuk needed to trust the Lord. Why? Because God was still in his holy temple. What is it we need to do when it looks like everything around us is falling apart? What is it you and me need to do when it looks like everything around us in today's world is just falling apart? We need to trust the Lord. We need to trust the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is still in his holy temple. And what does this mean? It means he's aware of what's going on. Jesus says even the very hairs on your head are numbered. He knows everything about you. So he's aware of what's going on, and he will punish these people, whoever they may be, for what they're doing in our society today. Let's jump right back into Habakkuk chapter 2 as we finish out chapter 2 here and look at chapter 3. The Lord says to Habakkuk, what sorrow awaits you who make your neighbors drunk? You force your cup on them. What is it that's being forced on us today? All kinds of agenda in our society today. We said that we live in a society that is under the control of the evil one. The evil one is looking to steal, kill, and destroy. And so that's what we see being forced upon us, the ideology and the agenda of the evil one today. Right? And so you force your cup on them so you can gloat over their shameful nakedness, but soon it will be your turn to be disgraced. Come, drink, and be exposed. The tables are going to turn, right? Drink from the cup of the Lord's judgment, and all your glory will be turned to shame, right? Things are going to change. By the way, things can change even this week, right, as we vote for the upcoming election. So things can change. What did Habakkuk say when he heard this? That things were going to change, that God was doing something. He essentially said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is in control. He's in his holy temple. Verse 2 here in Habakkuk chapter 3. I've heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. So we see Habakkuk here very broken, very dependent upon the Lord. So what was Habakkuk doing here? He was acknowledging their need for the Lord. His need and his people's need for the Lord. Well, what is it you and me need to do? Acknowledge our deep need for the Lord. We need Jesus. We cannot make it in today's world without him. What happens when we acknowledge our deep need for the Lord? When we acknowledge that, man, we need Jesus. We are dependent upon Him. We will see Him move. We will see Him move in our life, in our community, where we work, when we acknowledge that we are dependent upon Him, that we need Him. How do we know this? Because Habakkuk saw God move. Continuing on here in verses 3 through 7. I see God, what? Moving across the deserts from Edom. The Holy One coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with His praise. His coming is as brilliant as the sunrise. Rays of light flash from His hands, where His awesome power is hidden. Pestilence marches before Him. Plague follows close behind. When He stops, the earth shakes. When He looks, the nations tremble. He shatters the everlasting mountains and levels the eternal hills. He is the Eternal One. I see the people of Cushan in distress and the nation of Midian trembling in terror. Well, what is it I want you to notice here? I want you to notice when God appears on the scene. What happens when God appears on the scene? The earth shakes and the nations tremble. How do we know this? Because we saw this at Mount Sinai, where the Ten Commandments were given to the people. Did the people at that time listen to the Lord? No. How do we know this? Because the author of Hebrews told us they didn't listen. Let's look here in Hebrews 12, verses 25 through 27. The author of Hebrews says, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, His voice shook the earth. But now He makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heaven also, or the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only the unshakable things will remain. What is it we need to remember when everything around us is falling apart? What is it we need to remember when everything around us is falling apart? This isn't our home. This isn't our home. Nevertheless, the Lord has made a way for us in today's world. How do we know this? Because He made a way for the people of Israel through the Red Sea. Continuing on, verses 8 through 15. Was it in anger, Lord, that you struck the rivers and parted the sea? Were you displeased with them? No, you were sending your chariots of salvation. You brandished your bow and your quiver of arrows. You split open the earth with flowing rivers. The mountains watched and trembled. Onward swept the raging waters. The mighty deep cried out, lifting its hands in submission. The sun and moon stood still in the sky as your brilliant arrows flew and your glittering spear flashed. You marched across the land in anger and trampled the nations in your fury. You went out to rescue your chosen people, to save your anointed ones. You crushed the heads of the wicked and stripped their bones from head to toe. With His own weapons, you destroyed the chief of those who rushed out like a whirlwind, thinking Israel would be easy prey. You trampled the sea with your horses, and the mighty waters piled high. Perhaps right now you feel stuck. Maybe there's a Red Sea in front of you, a massive roadblock. You're stuck in a class that you wish you could get out of. You're you're stuck on a team where you get no playing time. You're stuck with a label the kids at school gave you. You're stuck in a job with a boss you can't stand. You're stuck with coworkers who have no idea what they're doing. You're stuck with a diagnosis the doctor gave you. You're stuck with a mom or dad, brother or sister who just doesn't understand you. You're stuck with a debt that you don't know how you're going to pay. And maybe you're stuck in a relationship or a marriage like this lady in this opening video where you don't know what you're going to do next. Whatever it is that you feel stuck with today, I want you to know that God can set you free. I want you to know that God can set you free. Whatever it is that is heavy on your heart today, God can set you free. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. He can part the sea. He can open things up. In the meantime, you may have to experience some pain and hardship. You may have to go through some pain and hardship, some trying times. How do I know this? Because this is what God told Habakkuk he and his people would experience. Some pain and some hardship, some trying times as this was about to come upon him. How did Habakkuk react when he heard what God had said? Well, let's read on here, verse 16. I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Well, what is it I want you to know? A day is coming when every wrong will be made right. A day is coming when every wrong will be made right. God is going to use what happened to you to show his justice. God is going to use what happened to you to make you worthy of his kingdom. In his justice, he will pay back those who trouble you. Well, how do I know this? Because this is what Paul said. Let's read on here. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 5 and 6. Paul says, and God will use this persecution, this garbage, this stuff that has happened to you, to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. What else did Paul say? He, God, will provide rest for you who are troubled by what's going on. He, that is God, will provide rest for you who are troubled by what's going on right now. You say or ask, when will this happen? You ask, when's this going to happen? When our Lord Jesus appears from heaven. When our Lord Jesus comes again. When our Lord Jesus appears from heaven. How's he going to come? Who's he going to come with? Let's start with that. Who's he going to come with? His mighty angels. How's he going to come? In flaming fire. What's he going to bring? He's going to bring judgment on those who don't know God and refuse to obey the good news. Those who have no interest in living for Jesus. What will they be punished with? Eternal destruction. What's he going to receive from those of us who are alive when he comes back? Those of us who believe that he is coming back and in the rapture, believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. What's he going to receive from us who are alive when he comes back? Glory and praise. Listen to what Paul says here. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted. And also for us, when our Lord Jesus appears from heaven, he's coming back. He will come with who? His mighty angels. In what? Flaming fire. What's he going to bring? Judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. How are they going to be punished? They will be punished with eternal destruction. Hell is a very real place. Forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe, and this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him. So the real question is, do you believe God has something better planned for you? Do you believe that God has something better plan for you? If so, then you can rejoice. Did Habakkuk believe that God had something better planned for him and his people than the mess and the garbage that he saw going on? Violence and destruction everywhere. Surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law paralyzed. No justice in the courts. This mess that they were in, did he and his people believe that God had something better planned for them? The answer is yes. Consequently, he did rejoice. Let's read on here as we jump back into Habakkuk verse 17 and 18. He says this, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, right? Even though things look hopeless, and right now things in your life, there may be something or a thing that just looks hopeless. Even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. Why? I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Why? Because he's still in his holy temple. He's still the King of kings and Lord of lords. And even though I may not understand all that's happening to me or why this is going on in my life right now or why I feel empty or sad or alone or discouraged or depressed, I know God is still in control. What else did Habakkuk believe? He believed the Lord was his strength. He believed if he hung on to the Lord, that the Lord would strengthen him and help get him through this time, in a time that things just didn't make sense. Verse 19, he says this, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. If you're feeling weak today, what is it I want you to know? I want you to know the Lord is your strength. If you're feeling insecure today, if you're feeling lonely today, if you're just feeling not with the program today, if you're just feeling you're in a bad place today, I want you to know the Lord is your strength. Put your trust in him. When things don't make sense, put your trust in the Lord. Whatever it is that you feel stuck in or stuck with today, cling to him. Hold on to him. Grab on to him. Right? Stuck in a class you wish you could get out of. Stuck in a relationship or a marriage where you don't know what to do next. Stuck in a job with a boss you can't stand. Stuck with coworkers who have no idea what they're doing. Stuck with a diagnosis the doctor gave you. Stuck with a mom or dad or brother or sister who just doesn't understand you. If you're feeling weak today, I want you to know the Lord is your strength. Put your trust in him. Why? Because the righteous will live by faith. You see, we live by faith, not by sight. I must admit, I live, and I think the opposite. I live by what I can see. And when I walk out these doors on a Sunday morning, and I look at what I see going on in our world today, I get discouraged and depressed. Right? Guys can be girls, and girls could be guys. What are you talking about? What are they teaching? Why are they teaching this? Is this going to change? Will one election change all this? It doesn't make sense to me. However, this I know, God is still in His holy temple, and even when things look like they're an utter mess, and even when it looks like everything around me is just falling apart, God is still in His holy temple. He's still in control. So help me, Lord Jesus, to live by faith and not by sight. Help me to believe all things are possible with God, because they are. Maybe you're here this morning and you said, Ed, I've kind of lost hope in my situation and what I'm dealing with. Would you pray for me? Because I've become too discouraged myself to pray. And I need prayer. Well, we're going to pray for you here in a moment. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I just feel lost right now. I feel stuck at where I'm at in my job or in my school, and I feel as if I'm alone and nobody truly understands me. You know what? God understands. He who sees you knows everything about you. In fact, Psalm 139 says He knows when you sit, when you rise, He perceives your thoughts from afar. And He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And He hasn't forgotten about you and your situation. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. It's powerful and it's convicting. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, Ed, I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And the truth is, I need Him. I've tried to live without Him, much like the lady in this video. I thought I was a pretty good person, but I realized that I'm not. If we could get into heaven by being a good person, then there was no need for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And so if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you've never asked Him to forgive you for your sins, I'd like to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask You to forgive me for my sins. I thank You for dying on the cross for me. I ask You to come into my heart and change me and make me like You. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I feel like there's some things right now in my life that just feel hopeless. And I'm really struggling. I'm struggling to keep my eyes on Jesus. Would You pray for me? Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that they would grab onto You, even when it looks like everything else is fruitless and barren and empty. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they would remember that You are their strength. That they can rejoice because You love them and You aren't going to let them go. And You know every hair on their head You have numbered. May they know that You are precious to them. Help them through whatever it is they're dealing with or going through. May You carry them through this time. May You prove to be more than faithful. We thank You, Lord, in advance for what You're going to do. And we give You the glory and the praise because You are so worthy of it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.